Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet, Fox Sports Las Vegas studios, Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... Quite a day if you're a Vegas Golden Knights fan. Free agency officially opened up today in the National Hockey League. The Golden Knights had a number of high-profile UFAs. Jonathan Marchessault, William Carrier, Alec Martinez, Michael Amadio, Chandler Stephenson, and Anthony Mantha. I'll throw Anthony Mantha in there as well. We're going to give you the most up-to-date recent news as to where those players ended up when the market opened up earlier today. We're also going to take a look at the weekend for the Golden Knights, some of the trades that went down at the NHL entry draft that was from the Sphere live here in Las Vegas. We'll dig into the big winners, at least from our perspective, early on. In the opening hours of free agency, we've got one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. All that's going to be in hour number two. But right now, we'll start off with an incredibly busy day. It always is. July 1st, it's Canada Day up north in Canada, but it is also the opening of free agency in the National Hockey League. It is when general managers generally throw a lot of money at players that they believe can help them. We saw some massive change across the National Hockey League. Steven Stamkos is no longer a Tampa Bay Lightning. And at the same time, you look at it from the Golden Knights perspective, and it has been a quiet day from Kelly McCrimmon and the Vegas Golden Knights. It has been a quiet day in terms of signing players here with the Vegas Golden Knights. And we're going to try to parse through that as best we can. I'll bring in Chris Chapman here, and I'll open it up with kind of the main question that I'm sure a lot of people have on their mind is, were you surprised or are you surprised that, you know, the Golden Knights weren't more active in terms of going after and getting big free agents today?
Yeah, I am. But I will add that outside of Alex Pietrangelo, generally this team does not do their business in July, or, you know, in the case of Pietrangelo, it was, what was it, like October when they signed him because of the COVID bubble thing. But yeah, I was surprised that they didn't really do much. I understand that there were a couple signings, Zach Aston Reese, but, you know, generally that's not the move that the fans are thrilled about or something that moves the needle for them. I will say this. I was a bit surprised by the contracts that were handed out to former VGK players.
Yep.
And when I see those contracts, I will fully say that I'm not shocked that the Golden Knights did not offer similar contracts. In some cases, they couldn't. In other places, I just feel like it was good business not to. So
okay. So I think you touched on something that's fantastic. Because I think that if you look at all of the contracts that the Golden Knights unrestricted free agents received today on the open market, you can look at a number of different reasons for each one as to why you wouldn't do that if you're the Vegas Golden Knights, right? And I think we're going to go through all of them, and we're going to kind of give our thoughts on those deals and the reasons why we can understand it from the Golden Knights perspective as to why you don't go down that road, why you don't go 5 years with Jonathan Marchessault, or why you don't go 7 by 6.25 for Chandler Stephenson. But the fact of the matter is, And And it comes down to this every single year, and you touched on it. This isn't going to be a team in Vegas, at least it hasn't been historically, where the big free agent signing is the way that they build their team. This team builds in a lot of ways through trades and getting and acquiring value that can help you right now in this moment. And it's been a pretty quiet day just in terms of any news or anything leaking out when it comes to the Golden Knights, what they may or may not be planning. But the fact of the matter is, this has been a team that has largely been built through trades, winning trades handily, and getting the best players available for the need and the opening within this team to make them better. And so when it comes to the opening of free agency, yeah, I was a little bit taken aback that there hasn't been more movement, but at the same time, I'm never, ever, ever going to eliminate the idea that there's something happening behind the scenes that we don't know about that could address the needs we feel this team has. So the fact of the matter is, I don't know that it was always going to be a betting war in free agency to bring in another winger or to keep a Jonathan Marchessault, to put you into a spot where you go longer term on a guy you don't want to go longer term on. I think for this team, if there's an opening, if there's a hole they need to fill, they will find a way to do it with the best player possible in a scenario where they don't bid against everyone else in the National Hockey League to lock themselves into a contract that won't make sense in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like, you look at some of the deals that were handed out, and obviously mm-hmm. none by Vegas, but, I mean, I know it's not a position of need for the Golden Knights, but, like, I look at the Chris mm-hmm. Tanev signing, and mm-hmm. Toronto, of course, trades with Dallas to get him over, you know, the weekend. But he's 34. They signed him to a 6-year deal, and you look at the AAV of $4.5 million. They're going to be paying him till he's 40 years old, and I don't really know if Chris Tanev is a guy that I would go out and pay until he's 40. I mean, good player, sure. A guy who you need to lock up for 6 years at $4.5 million. The term is what scares me more than the dollars. I mean, the dollars, $4.5 million is probably right about where he should be, but 6 years, that's a lot, you know?
Is 40-year-old Chris Tanev going to be worth $4.5 million at the end of the contract? Absolutely not.
No,
absolutely
no, and that's
not.
It.
But at the same time, I think if you're Toronto, the way that you look at it is very simple. Okay, in 6 years, the salary cap's going to be $120 million.
You would hope
so. So what's $4.5 million?
You would hope
so. So what's $4.5 million, right? So that's the line of thinking when it comes to Toronto, right? Like, you look at it and you say, all right, we know that we should probably be going 4 by 4.5, right?
Right,
I think 4 by 4.5 for Chris Tanev, everyone would sit there and say, that's probably fine. But those final 2 years, $4.5 million against the cap is not going to be what $4.5 million against the cap is today. And that's why I think that Toronto specifically doesn't really have an issue going longer term there for Tanev. But I do, before we get too far down a rabbit hole, because when as many things happen today as has happened in the National Hockey League, it can really kind of devolve on us pretty quickly. I do want to dive into everything that happened for the Golden Knights in terms of trades and free agency over the weekend. All right, I'm going to start with the first trade that I don't think a lot of people really saw coming. I didn't necessarily see it coming because from the Golden Knights perspective, you've got Logan Thompson on a really good deal. However, when, you know, you hear from Kelly McCrimmon after making the trade, and you understand kind of where Logan was coming from and wanting a more defined or better role, wants to be a number one goaltender, it makes sense that this deal gets done. Logan Thompson was traded to the Washington Capitals for a 2024 third round pick and a 2025 third round pick. The third round pick in 2024 was goalie Pavel Moisevich. That's who the Golden Knights selected 83rd overall in the draft this weekend. Big goalie, limited time in the KHL last season, good numbers, really solid all the way around. Obviously, you don't make a pick on a goalie in the third round or really just kind of make that trade to get to that spot. If you don't like the player, obviously the Golden Knights do like the player. I think the style works with Bruce Cassidy. It's going to be a while before you really get your eyes on Moisevich, but the fact of the matter is, I think you get a goalie that you're high on, you move on from Logan Thompson, you give him an opportunity now in Washington to win more starts and potentially be a number one guy. And I think it's just the Golden Knights doing right by the player and getting themselves into a spot where they could get a goaltender that they covet in the draft. The other trade is Paul Cotter to New Jersey for Alexander Holtz and Akira Schmid. No qualifying offer for Akira Schmid. However, the belief is that he is going to sign with the Vegas Golden Knights to be the third goaltender, not to be the backup to Aiden Hill. We'll kind of dive into that a little bit later on as well. The key to this deal is Alexander Holtz, and that's really what it boils down to for the Golden Knights. You're talking about a guy that has a lethal shot. He's got great upside, a former seventh overall pick back in 2020, 16 goals last year in 82 games for the Devils. I would say you're looking at the player. He's highly skilled, right? You want to put him in a position to succeed. You want to give him a role that's going to play to those skills, to that skill set. I think with a change of scenery for Holtz, and the ability to maybe move up the depth chart a little bit, given the fact that the Golden Knights don't have Jonathan Marchessault, you have an opportunity to really cash in on the upside of a player that I think needs a change of scenery and a clearly defined role and spot on a team. So I think for the Golden Knights, you get a young player, 22 years old, in Alexander Holtz. He's got a great track record just in terms of the talent and the skill that he has. Now it's about a player coming to the Golden Knights and unlocking that potential, something that we have seen time and time again with this organization.
Yeah, so as someone who follows the Devils, obviously, I can tell you that Alexander Holtz was probably never used properly in New Jersey.
Yeah.
He was kind of buried. Alexander Holtz is a guy who could potentially, my guess is ceiling, probably second line, but I think he probably fits in more on the third line. When they traded for him, and obviously giving up Paul Cotter, but they got Schmid, but I'm focusing on Holtz here. Mm-hmm. My initial thought was he's going to fill the void of Michael Amadio, at least in terms of scoring. Now, I think he has a much bigger offensive upside than Amadio. But I think there's some defensive liabilities in his game. Like, part of the knock on him was that he gave up, you know, he wasn't a 200-foot player.
Sure.
My feelings on that are you can coach that into players. And Bruce Cassidy has shown a propensity to be able to make guys commit to being 200-foot forwards. So I'm not too concerned about that. I think there's a tremendous upside. He's only 22. As you said, he was a seventh overall pick in 2020. Funny story is I was actually in Stockholm and got to see him make his professional debut for Djurgården when I got to go see them play. So that's kind of a cool thing for me. But I think that this trade, and look, I was shocked when I saw that Paul Cotter's name was involved in this trade because I thought Paul was going to have a spot on the fourth line. So it was surprising, and obviously as a guy who likes Paul Cotter, you never want to see guys that you really like traded or not re-signed. So it stung a little bit, but I also understand that the goal is to get better. And Alexander Holtz provides them with an opportunity to maybe add. I think he scored 16 goals last year. My guess is he could probably score a couple more, maybe approach 20. So I think – all in all, it was a good trade because Schmid, I think, is a guy who has shown flashes of being a good goalie. And certainly you think about that New York Rangers series 2 years ago where they came back from the 2-0 deficit to beat the Rangers. He was really, really good in that playoff series. And I think Sean Burke will like working with him because he seems to fit the mold of the goalie that Sean Burke likes. And so he pencils in right now as a number three, but there's a potential for him to get a lot of playing time in Vegas. So we'll have to see. I think all in all, this was a really good trade for the Golden Knights. And I know from Devil fans that I know that they were disappointed for the organization to give up on Holtz so quickly. Because as I pointed out, a lot of them kind of echoed my sentiments that he was buried a bit and he never really had a defined role on the team. So they all anticipated him being sent to Calgary in the Markstrom deal. And when he wasn't, they were thrilled. They're like, all right, we didn't even have to give up Alexander Holtz to get our goalie. Well, they gave up Alexander Holtz to get Paul Cotter, which, by the way, I think for New Jersey, I think it's a good – getting Cotter is a good move for them because it gives them a guy that they didn't have. And that's a bruiser who has a scoring touch, and Paul Cotter is that guy. So I think it'll work out fine for both sides.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think – when it comes to the New Jersey Devils, like you want to have clearly defined roles for players. I think that that'll end up happening just by default. But Paul Cotter should have a legitimately good chance to make that team as a fourth line winger and really lean into being that guy, right? I think for the Golden Knights, there were, you know, nights where you had Paul up the lineup and down the lineup, and it was kind of a, I don't want to say a mixed bag, but it was certainly a scenario where he had to be very fluid and flexible in what he was trying to bring to the table night in and night out. That's a hard thing to do for a young kid trying to break into the league, right? You know, one night you're playing on a line with Jack Eichel, the next night you're playing, you know, down the lineup on the fourth line. I think that for Paul's development, finding the right spot, finding the right fit, and living that night in and night out is going to be what takes him to the next level as a professional hockey player in the National Hockey League. Now, I do want to dive into the free agents that we know have signed with the Golden Knights. And nothing yet official from the Golden Knights, but we did see a couple of things come across the ticker. Zach Aston-Reese, a one-year, two-way contract, $775,000. You might be asking yourself, who is Zach Aston-Reese? He only played 3 games in the National Hockey League last year, but he's played over 310 games in the National Hockey League. Primarily, when you think of it, Zach Aston-Reese, you're talking about a defense-first guy. He can play the center or the wing. With Pittsburgh, was really, really a coveted shutdown-type center iceman that you could trust in all situations. He's got a lot of energy, skates pretty well. He covets and wants to play the hardest minutes that you can possibly play. He wants to be on a shutdown line. He wants to be that guy. You're not going to look at him and get a ton of scoring, but the fact of the matter is he can really solidify the bottom of your lineup up front if he's able to make the team out of training camp. And, you know, when you look at it from the idea that it's a two-way contract, that's going to be the big if, right? With Zach Aston-Reese, how does he impact this team? How does he push the needle or move the needle forward for the Golden Knights? It's going to be if he makes the team. Because if you've got Aston-Reese on the roster in the lineup night in and night out, then that probably pushes a guy like Nick Waugh up the lineup, and it gives the Golden Knights a little bit more depth in that scenario. So Zach Aston-Reese, the report out there is 1 year, two-way, $775,000. And then you've got Tanner Lyzinski, you know, another player that's got a little bit of NHL experience, played all last year in the American Hockey League, 17 goals and 44 points in 49 games for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. I would imagine that this one's more along the lines of an AHL signing, a Henderson Silver Knights scenario for Lyzinski. And then the other one that's out there, and again, nothing's been confirmed on this at all, but it's worth noting and worth bringing up because, you know, as we talked about with Akira Schmid, no qualifying offer yet to Schmid. However, the expectation is that he was going to sign or is intending to sign with the Vegas Golden Knights to be the number 3 option. That would leave the Golden Knights without a number 2 option, right? You've got Aiden Hill under contract. You don't have anyone else under contract. The reports out there were that it was looking like Ilya Samsonov from the Toronto Maple Leafs was going to sign a 1-year deal with the Vegas Golden Knights. However, nothing in terms of AAV numbers on that contract, anything has been reported or put out there yet. So I don't know about that one when it comes to Samsonov. I don't know if he is actually signing with the Vegas Golden Knights on a one-year deal. But the fact of the matter is, if he did, that addresses that number two spot behind Aiden Hill and the vacancy that's left with the trading of Logan Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, we're waiting for official confirmation on that. I know it's kind of been reported, but we haven't seen it. But I'll be real interested to see the term and the dollar value on that, because I know that, you know, we've heard that Logan Thompson requested the trade, but I just want to see how much of the cap now gets eaten up by having a veteran goalie on the team as opposed to a young guy on a very team-friendly deal like Logan Thompson was. I think Samsonov is another guy who kind of fits the mold of the goalies that Sean Burke likes, though, right? He's a bit of a bigger guy. He's not super, super athletic. He's a very different type of goalie than Logan Thompson. So I think it'll be interesting to see if this does actually turn out to be the case. My interest is piqued in some aspects of this signing, because we knew when Kelly made the comment about Schmid being probably the third goalie that they were going to have to go out and get a goalie. And of course, my initial thought, and I think like about a lot of other people, was they were going to make a trade, possibly with Nashville, for the guy who they drafted a couple years ago and is now going to be relegated to the backup because they re-signed Juuse Saros to a nice big deal. So I thought that was a possibility, but
the Askarov isn't the backup in.
Yeah, he's in their AHL affiliate, which by the way they have a lot of really good young players coming through the pipeline, as well as
we're going to talk about Nashville today. Don't you worry about it. Yeah, we're going to talk about Nashville.
But you know, I think when you look around and you see some of the guys that were signed, I'm sure Golden Knight fans are probably asking themselves, oh well, why didn't we go out and sign a guy like Warren Fogle, or you know, why wouldn't we sign Alexander Wenberg? Or, you know, there's a reason. Like, I think we have a tendency sometimes to overreact to things, especially in the moment. And I've been trying to tell people all day, like, look, calm down. I'm pretty sure that George and Kelly have something in the works. Like, this team, and not to ignore the fact that they did a lot of their off-season work at the trade deadline.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, it should not be ignored that they brought in Noah Hanifin and locked him up to an eight-year deal, which when we talk about contracts expiring, that's going to look like a bargain.
You know, it's funny because you're right in that, and it's kind of how we started this conversation, right? Like, this is a team that is going to look to build not just through free agency, not specifically through free agency, because free agency is going to do one thing. It's going to lock you into some contracts that, because you're bidding with 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 other teams, it's going to lock you into contracts that you don't want to do, right? Like, the fact of the matter is, there were contracts today that were signed where you either go a little bit higher on the AAV or you go a little bit longer on the term because you wanted the player more than the other team, more than the other general manager that was in on the player. It's just the way that it goes. And it locks you in to contracts that are going to become untenable, and it's going to hurt what you want to do longer term. And I think for the Golden Knights, the strategy simply of not getting into bidding wars in those spots, but identifying players that you covet, identifying players you believe can help you, and going out and winning a trade, that's how they do it. They did it with Noah Hanifin and locked him up to a contract extension. They found a player in Tomáš Hertl that they covet, that they believe will push them in a really solid direction. It's unfair to assess Hertl based on last year. Now that he's got a full summer where he's healthy and he's going to be able to train and get back to being the player that we expect him to be with the Golden Knights, I think that that's going to be another scenario where you look at it and you say, okay, I understand what the end goal here was. But the fact of the matter is, it's a team built through trades. It is a team built in trying to find and assess, picking up the right guys, going out and getting the right guys in the right spot, And I think that you're right on the money. A lot of what the Golden Knights were aiming to do or looking to do when it comes to free agency for this offseason was accomplished at the trade deadline when they made the biggest splashes of anybody else and then were able to kind of create some flexibility cap-wise moving forward. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with the former Golden Knights, the unrestricted free agents that signed contracts with other teams. We're going to dig into those contracts and give an explainer on what our honest assessment is of those contracts and why it made sense for the Golden Knights not to go down that road with those players. That's all coming up next on the VGK Insider Show. VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Monday, first day of July. Happy July, everybody. It is Canada Day. So happy Canada Day to our friends from the north. It's also the free agent frenzy. It's the first day of free agency in the National Hockey League. And there's been quite a bit in terms of money thrown around, years thrown around, commitment to players. Boy, oh boy, over $1 billion. Like, that's wild. That is absolutely wild. But this is what ends up happening every single year when it comes to free agency. So we open up the show. We talked about kind of what has changed in terms of some trades for the Golden Knights, what we are seeing, or at least what's been reported that they've brought into the fold in free agency, at least the early goings of free agency. Now we are going to spend some time on what has gone away, what has walked out the door, what has changed from an on-ice perspective for the Vegas Golden Knights. We're going to deal with Jonathan Marchessault, Chandler Stephenson, William Carrier, Michael Amadio, Alec Martinez, and we'll throw Anthony Mantha in there for good measure because those were the unrestricted free agents for the Golden Knights heading into this offseason. So Jonathan Marchessault, 5 years, $5.5 million AAV with the Nashville Predators. Obviously, when it comes to Golden Knights fans, this one's going to hurt the most. Jonathan Marchessault is the franchise leader in goals, assists, points, power play goals, game-winning goals, hat tricks, and games played, not to mention the fact that he won the Conn Smythe 2 seasons ago as the playoff MVP and is coming off of a 42-goal season last year. At times, we have described Jonathan Marchessault as the heartbeat of the Vegas Golden Knights. We all remember when they won the Stanley Cup, that iconic photo. Marchessault right in the middle of the heart behind the net when the Golden Knights were initially celebrating their championship. This one's sentimental. It's always going to be sentimental when you're talking about a guy that's been here from day one, especially a guy like Jonathan Marchessault who took the long way to getting to the National Hockey League and has scrapped and clawed for everything that he's gotten. You know, you look at the AAV. The AAV is not the issue here. It's 5 years. And you're talking about a guy that's about to be 34 years old. You're paying him to produce at a really high level into year 38. Like, that to me is where it really doesn't make sense from the Golden Knights perspective. Like, the AAV is fine. I don't have any issue with the AAV. That's a fair number for Jonathan Marchessault. 5 years is too long because aging curves catch up with everybody, and I don't expect this to be any different. And you can look at the fact that he, you know, the longer road to getting to the National Hockey League, the mileage is not as high as it would be for other guys that are 33, 34 years old. But the simple fact is I just don't like the idea of going 5 years with a guy that's 34 years old. It just doesn't make sense in that regard.
Yeah, you know, I think in a lot of ways you could make the case that the AAV is actually a little low for Marchessault. But I think the term is what kind of scares me away when I see 5 years. I mean, I try to see it from the perspective of, do you expect him to be a 30, 35 goal scorer at 38, 39 years old? I mean, there's no, listen, if anybody can defy the odds, it's Jonathan Marchessault because he's done it his entire career. But I just don't see it. Like, I see 3 years max being where I would have gone with him, and I would have bumped up the AAV. And, you know, I know that there was an offer on the table. I don't know what that offer was. So my guess is it's one of those moves where for Marchessault, I absolutely cannot fault him for taking more money and more years because of this reason. You look at his career and the trajectory he had to take to get to the league, and he didn't really sign any big-time contracts until his first contract with the Golden Knights, where he finally got paid. So for him to want to take the most amount of years and get the max offer he could, I don't fault him for that. Like, and nobody should, because every single one of us would do the same exact thing, especially when you look at the fact that Nashville offers some of the things that he's probably looking for. They are committed to winning, as we've seen from what they've done today and other days. But I think there's no state tax in Tennessee, so $5.5 million is $5.5 million in Tennessee, just as it is in Vegas. So I think for him, from his perspective, I don't fault him at all for taking that contract and taking the money. In fact, I applaud him for it. The guy should get paid. But from the Vegas perspective, I think the term was just a little bit too long. So I don't fault the Knights for not giving him more years.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think if you're the Golden Knights, again, with a 33, 34-year-old guy that's coming off of, you know, the best 18 to 20 months of his career, you're probably comfortable going 3 years. But that's the high end of it, right? Like, you're not thinking about 5 years for a guy in his mid-30s. You're just not thinking about it. And I think it makes a lot of sense for the Golden Knights to not go longer term. I think it makes a lot of sense for Jonathan Marchessault to go 5x5.5. Like, get your money. You know what I mean? Get your money. Good on you for doing it. And this is going to be a theme for pretty much every guy that we're talking about here with the Golden Knights. Like, these contracts are really good for the player. Really good for the player. And I think that you can look at all of them and say that there's risk and downside for the organizations if the players don't live up to the numbers or the term or for the length of the contract. And another thing to point out, and I feel like it needs to be said, oftentimes we have looked at players where the Golden Knights have either traded a player that has been a fan favorite or traded a player that has really done well here, and their production has not lived up in the next stop or the next couple of stops. I have a tendency to believe that Jonathan Marchessault is going to score. He knows how to score. He's a big game player. It is what it is. He's got a lot of talent surrounding him here in Nashville. But at the same time, like you said, are you going to expect Jonathan Marchessault to be a 30-goal guy when he's 38 years old? No. But you're going to be paying him like that's what the expectation is. And, you know, you have to get value through the life of the contract. Let's talk about the other, I would say the other high profile or the highest profile UFA outside of Jonathan Marchessault from the Vegas Golden Knights, Chandler Stephenson. 7 years, $6.25 million AAV with the Seattle Kraken. Again, this is a common theme. Great deal for Chandler Stephenson, right? Like, that is big money. That is a huge payday. That is a guy that has won two Stanley Cups with two different organizations, with two very different roles, a fourth line guy with the Washington Capitals, a number two center with the Vegas Golden Knights. There's no denying that this is a monster deal for Chandler Stephenson, and it's not bad when you consider the fact that he was a trade away from Vegas to being a waiver guy, right? Like, he was going to be put on waivers. There was no room for him in Washington. He comes to the Golden Knights. He has instant chemistry with Mark Stone, and it is a match made in heaven. And now he's going to have to prove away from Vegas, away from Mark Stone, that he is a $6.25 million center. And he's going to have to prove it for 7 years in a contract that's going to take him to 36, 37 years old.
Yeah, first off, absolutely awesome for Chandler to get that deal. You know, this was a guy who I've been saying for months, if there was a guy who needed to take the payday, it was him. And he got it. And do I think Seattle maybe looking in a few years might wish they had given him less term? I don't know. But I'm looking at the crack in lines, and I'm trying to see where he fits. I mean, is he going to be – is he your second-line center? I mean, you're going to move him to the wing alongside Jared McCann? I mean, Jared McCann scored 40 goals 2 years ago, so do you play him on the wing? I think it's a good problem to have if you're the Kraken. And from their perspective, you help yourself by signing a good player, but you weaken a division rival by signing a player away from the Golden Knights. So I like it for the Kraken for some of those reasons, and I like it for Chandler Stephenson because, you know what, he's a guy who we all like. He's a very well-liked guy in the locker room, a very friendly, outgoing, and he's a good player. And it's good to see a player like him get recognized for his accomplishments. Like, I thought that there was maybe a chance Golden Knights would re-sign him. Like, yeah. I was holding out hope that and when I saw the news about Marchessault, I started to think, hey, maybe they will bring back Chandler. When I saw the numbers, there was no realistic chance that the Golden Knights were ever going to be able to re-sign Chandler Stephenson.
In your opinion, for a center iceman making 6.25, how many goals are you expecting out of them per season?
He should score 20. Maybe 25.
It's only happened one time in his career.
I know. 2 years
and that's
ago.
That's why you look at this one, love Chandler Stephenson. It's an overpay. It's an overpay on the AAV. It's probably a tad too long in terms of in terms of the term, but I love it for the player because secure the bag.
Yep.
Make your money. You know what I mean?
He's got a family. He's got a wife and two kids. And he's won his two cups. Like, honestly, I talked about Marchessault taking the money. If I'm Chandler, I'm jumping through hoops at that offer. I'm like, let's get on the plane tomorrow. By the way, thanks to Alan Snell, some of you may know who he is, for tweeting at me that Chandler Stephenson is a big outdoor like mountain biker. So the Pacific Northwest, a fantastic location for that and for him. So I'm very happy for Chandler Stephenson. Get paid and do your thing, man.
You know, it's funny because I was up in Seattle, obviously, for the Winter Classic this year. And I know there are mountains there. I just couldn't see it because of all the gray clouds. Like, couldn't see the mountains. I know there are mountains there, but I couldn't actually find them.
Get a raincoat.
let's move on from Chandler Stephenson to William Carrier. And this is an interesting one to me because the term's fantastic. The AAV is solid for what Carrier brings to the table. It's a great contract for William Carrier. 6 years, $2 million AAVs, $12 million contract. Like, that's guaranteed money for Will Carrier. He's a hard-nosed, fast-skating player. Gives you everything he has, right? Even when he's injured, when he's not injured. Like, he is a 110% effort type of player, which makes a lot of sense that it's the Carolina Hurricanes because that's exactly who Rod Brind'Amour is as a person, as a coach, and the types of players that he covets. So it's a great spot for Will Carrier. He's going to be a fourth line winger for the Carolina Hurricanes. He's going to be able to have teammates, linemates around him where, you know, maybe we're looking at double-digit goals year in and year out for Carrier. Like, I think he's a 10-goal-a-year guy. And for $2 million, that's not bad value over the course of the contract. Here's the biggest issue when it comes to going 6 years in term on William Carrier. He has never played a full 82 games in a season. The injury question is going to follow him around. He played 39 games last year for the Golden Knights, 58 the year before. The fact of the matter is, there's going to be durability questions. And when you go 6 years with a guy, I don't think you want to wonder how many actual games he's going to be able to play over those 6 years. So in that regard, I love the cap hit. Like, I love the cap hit. William Carrier, $2 million, by all means, let's go. 6 years, that's too long in my book. And again, another reason why I look at it, and you can understand why the Golden Knights didn't retain Will Carrier to this contract.
Yeah, 6 years is a long time. And, you know, you mentioned the durability issues, and look, his first year with the Golden Knights, he missed 45 games. Second year with the Golden Knights, he missed 28. The following year was the COVID year, so I think he actually played the full season. And then the year after that was a 56-game season. He played 52. But after that, he missed 19, 26, and 43 games. I would not have given William Carrier 6 years. The money's fine. I mean, who cares, right? $2 million is a drop in the bucket. I mean, and for an NHL franchise, obviously not for us. But I would not have given him 6 years because I think there are durability issues. And, you know, the AAV is fine. The term is probably a little long for my liking. But you know what? Again, he's got a Stanley Cup. There's a lot of good fishing in North Carolina for William Carrier. So I'm sure he is going to enjoy living in the Carolinas. And I'm guessing he's going to spend a lot of time on his boat because they love to fish down there. So good for William.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back, reset for hour number two. There's a chance. I'm not going to – you can't hold me to this, but Kelly McCrimmon is expected to speak to the media around 5 o'clock today. So we're hopeful we'll be able to bring that to you live when Kelly does speak. So we're going to – we still have a couple of players to get through. We've got Michael Amadio, Alec Martinez, Anthony Mantha. Their contracts, again, what they were able to get today. So we're going to reset, get into hour number two, and hopefully bring you Kelly McCrimmon live at the top of the hour. All that coming up on the VGK Insider Show. VGK Insider Show, Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman with you, diving deep into the opening of NHL free agency. Certainly been a big day, a busy day around the National Hockey League. Chapman, we're going to dive into Michael Amadio's contract, Alec Martinez, his contract, Anthony Mantha. We'll spend a little bit of time on that in hour number two as well. But I want to know what your favorite signing of the day has been.
Oh, wow. Oof. Kind of caught me off guard with that one. I really like Stamkos to Nashville. I think
you
bring in him and Marchessault, and you basically commit to winning. I'll be honest, it sounds kind of funny that I'm even going to put it out there, but I like Toffoli to San Jose. Like I think for a young team that is going to go through a lot of losing, to have a guy like Tyler Toffoli on your team, I think that's a good signing. I think Sean Walker going to Carolina is a good signing. Can I bring up that maybe my favorite for the wrong reasons is Corey Perry re-signing in Edmonton?
You can't take mine. You can't take mine.
Oh, is that yours?
It's not Corey Perry. It's not Corey Perry. Hold on. Okay. So this is my favorite signing of the day. Jeff Skinner, bought out by the Buffalo Sabres, signs a one-year, $3 million contract with the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
Jeff Skinner famously has never played in a playoff game in the National Hockey League. He's never played in a playoff game in the National Hockey League. Corey Perry has played in a bunch of playoff games in the National Hockey League. A bunch of them. But he's lost 4 straight Stanley Cup finals that he's been a part of. What I think is really funny is that the Edmonton Oilers have more of a chance to win today because they signed Jeff Skinner because he's a former Buffalo Sabre.
Yes.
And we all know what happens with former Buffalo Sabres
when
when they get out of Buffalo and they start their first full year in another place. They win championships.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are hinging. The Edmonton Oilers are hinging. They're doubling down on winning a championship by signing a guy in Jeff Skinner who's never played in the playoffs.
Yeah, do they kind of cancel each other out?
I mean, if the Oilers, I think the Oilers are hopeful that that's the case.
Yeah, but which way? I mean, it's got to go one way or the other. So, is it one
of
those?
I think Corey Perry gets you to the final, and Jeff Skinner powers you through.
Ooh, fans here are not going to want to hear that.
It's been a good day for the Edmonton Oilers.
I think it has been, yeah.
2 years, $8 million contract for Victor Arvidsson. As we just mentioned, 1 year, $3 million for Jeff Skinner. They just went, it just reported Matias Janmark 3 by 1.45 million. So, as you mentioned, Corey Perry, $1.5 million 1 year contract. You got Connor Brown under contract as well. Derek Ryan under. Like, it's been a good day for the Edmonton Oilers. Not going to sit well for the Golden Knights fans. Like, no one cares about that here. But the Edmonton Oilers might have gotten better up front, even though they had some key players leave.
Good.
So I'm saying.
I think it's a good day for them, for sure.
Question with Arvidsson is always going to be health. But Jeff Skinner to Edmonton, that's my favorite signing of the day. Hour number two, that's coming up next.